enrapture us into your presence, sir. Transport us into your glory and reveal to us your glorious plan and purpose. This night we receive your servant and the anointing you've placed upon and within his life. And we choose to draw upon that anointing and say, Father, this night I have an appointment with your presence, and I will not be denied what my covenant provides. And the people said, amen. Receive God's servant, Brother Nigel, as he comes.
I would like us to all move from one seat to the next, indicating that you are looking for another change of season. Now, some of you have sat in that seat for 15 years. But I want us to just change seats as a symbolic gesture that you're about to undergo a seasonal change in the Holy Ghost. You know, this morning I was settling in. And normally the churches I go to now are churches that I have relationship with. I sit on the apostolic board of several churches in this nation, and I have spiritual sons and spiritual daughters, and I stay within the confinement or the confines of those churches. Most of the churches I have long-term relationship. It's been a while since I've came into a church for the first time in a long time. I come in on the basis of relationship. I'm not a blow in, blow up and blow out kind of a guy. I am a man that wants relationship. And I've got to be honest, tonight I feel the presence of God in this house. I sense his presence. For me, it came in not at the last song, but the song before the last one. And it was like the glory of God came into the house. I told the Lord in the church, hotel that I'm staying in, I said, I don't have to prove anything to anybody. This is it. This is the package. Whether you like it or not like it, it's not my problem. What I have to do is deliver what God has placed in my heart, and I feel a little pregnant tonight with some of the things that I have to share. But I do sense the presence. And I love this worship team, Richard. And all of you are missing God in a profound way because you should be traveling with me. And I love the bass player. You rock, my boy. I come out of the rock scene. I manage two rock groups in New Zealand. And so when I watch him play the bass, I get a little excited. But I do feel the glory of God, and I love the presence. Whew. Almost overpowering for me tonight. Thank you, worship team, except my maestro. You may come down. The Lord is so good. Father, we thank you for your presence tonight. We thank you for the goodness of God. If you slot into this tonight, there is a glory in the house. If you just give yourself to that tonight, let the presence of God wash over you. Let the glory of God wash over you tonight. At the risk of sounding crass, some of you have a hell of a life. And you need the glory of God. You need the presence of God to invade your life constantly. I would sooner have a heaven a life than a hell of a life. But we face all kinds of difficulties. I was reading the news today where, and I'm positive that the coalition, along with the U.S., are contemplating wiping out North Korea, flattening it to the bone, because of this idiot with a poor haircut that's just acting like an idiot. The problem with him, he suffers young man's disease. He hasn't been seasoned by life. But the problem is he's playing with the big boys. And I look at the world, I look at where we are, Richard, I look at wars and rumors of war. When I read that in the book of Timothy, and it talked about perilous times of great stress, problems hard to bear, we are living in that season as a church, anxious moments. We need to listen to the voice of God, but above all, we need to be locked into the very presence of God. Kim Clement prophesied, and he prophesied, he said, don't worry about North Korea. Now, either it's going to exist and he behaves, the leader, or he's going to be flattened. The problem is the collateral damage of a nuclear war is something none of us like to even contemplate. But above all things, as individuals, just not as a corporate body, we need to be addicts of the presence. But you know what I find about America, which is really, and I love America. I've been coming here for 24 years. I think I know America. But you are addicted to busyness. We've got 10 iPhones hanging from each ear. We've got iPads. We've got laptops. We've got this. We've got that. Where is the opportunity to wait on the presence of God except church? And sometimes in churches we are so structured and so busy in church life that they don't even give us an opportunity to be able to wait on the presence of God. I really sense him hovering tonight. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Soaking in the glory. Soaking in His presence. God can do far more. The old terminology, practicing the presence. Because I'll be honest with you, even as a preacher, there's a lot of times I don't have any answers. I don't have any answers for my own life, let alone have answers for other people. But the moment I get into the presence of God, sister, the moment I step out of the coldness of being out of it and I step into it, a shift takes place in my mind and a shift takes place in my emotions. Because God made us emotional, so we need to have emotional health as well. And only the presence of God can bring that. See, as I'm walking here now, I'm walking in that glorious presence. I'm loath to rush out of it. He can do far more with His presence. In the upper room, they waited on the presence, the Holy Spirit. And the kicker here is that they didn't really know what was being sent. And what I love about God, I love His suddenlies that come suddenly. See, even tonight for me, I was loving to be here, but my personal suddenly came tonight was not the last song, but the song before it. And it was like God showed up just whack, and just, it was just suddenly. God never gives information prior to Him coming. He just shows up. And as men of God and as ministries, we need to learn how to wait on the presence of God, be locked in the presence of God. When I lock into the presence of God like I am tonight, impartation is stronger. When I lock into the presence of God like I am right now, the DNA of fathers that has been imparted to me and given to me by spiritual fathers, it's like I feel the whole raft of these anointings in my spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why you need to get around your pastor. He is a carrier. Always get around a carrier. There are a lot of men of God that are in it for them and their promotion. But there are genuine carriers of the glory of God that is generational. You want to get around men that carry generational DNA and generational anointings. Now, Jim has met a friend of mine, Bishop Ron Cody. How long ago was that? When I was a young man, Bishop Cody came to my home church in New Zealand, because I was born in New Zealand. Now, his reputation preceded him. People would say he's crazy. He was bold. He would step out of the normal thing that you would expect from a man of God. But we had booked him for 2 weeks. And this man come into my life, and what God will do in the economy of God, God will send men who are generational carriers, and they will bring to you things that you need. Paul said, I long to bring some spiritual gift. That phrase there in the Greek, I long to come and bring spiritual adventures to you. Walking with God is a spiritual adventure. Hands up those who sense the presence tonight. If you don't, raise your hands to say, oh God, just fill me right now. Let it come on me. Fill me now, Jesus. Fill me now, Jesus. I'm hungry, Holy Spirit. You've got a candidate here. Fill me with the glory of God. Bishop Ron Cody was called the Apostle of Joy. And he literally blazed a trail up from one end of New Zealand to the other. Open and pioneered stacks, hundreds of churches. The most amazing gift in the realm of freedom that I've ever seen. Often it was his way to come into town. He used to come into town and bring a coffin with him. And he would dress the pallbearers up in black. And he'd get the pallbearers to carry the coffin into the main public center of a city. And Bishop Cody would be actually in the coffin. And as they would bring it in and lay the coffin down on the main square of a town with crowds and crowds of people, Ron would pop the lid and stand up and preach, I'm the resurrection and the life. Freak everybody out. Hallelujah. The Roman Catholic Church, he did a thing against the the Roman Catholic Church, and the Roman Catholic Church actually put a contract on his life. Proven. Take him out. So this man arrives in my church, and I have no idea what to expect. And I don't know whether you remember. Look, I'm just enjoying the presence tonight. Are you okay with that? And so this guy comes into my church, and my pastor says, Nigel, you need to brace yourself. Now, whenever your senior pastor tells you to brace yourself because of a ministry gift coming in, and I said, well, what is he like? He said, you'll find out. I don't know whether you remember that old song, there's a river of life flowing out from me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Well, no, it wasn't that song. It was, I got the Holy Ghost. I forget just what song it is, an oldie, oldie, oldie. Anyway, what happened was, he didn't make his entrance like I came through the side entrance, and I was ushered by the usher to my spot in the scheme of things, sitting here. But he started down the back, and the worship team, that's right, it's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Yeah, that's an oldie, Jim. And Ron was down the back there. I never saw him. I was sitting up the front, and I was waiting. All of a sudden, the band strikes up. It's the Holy Ghost and fire, and Ron comes with a tambourine and dancing up the aisle. That's how he came into the church. And I knew we were going to have a party for 2 weeks. But here's the deal. Something about what was in him was about to be transferable from him to me. I was going to be a man known, a man of great sorrows in the future. I was going to face things that I never dreamed possible that I would ever face. And Ron would pick me out every night in a meeting and lay hands on me and impart the joy, the force of joy into my life. And I wasn't talking about ha-ha, ho-ho, he-he. I am talking about the force of joy that sets up residence in your spirit. And for the sorrow that I was going to face in life, this joy has sustained me all through my life. Even today, my son says to me, you are just not real. And I'll be honest with you, and I don't say this lightly, I am happy almost, not 24 hours a day, I'm happy about 23 hours of the day. I'm leaving room for error to slip into depression and take a fit. But I'm a very happy person, and I'm a happy person because I've always got a go-to place in my head. If you don't have a go-to place, the place you're at's going to cause you a lot of hell. I remember one time I used to sell home appliances, refrigerators and the like, and I remember Ron coming into my shop, and when I saw him come around the corner to come into the shop, I braced myself because my boss was a brethren. And they're pretty stiff. And Ron came, he's an infectious little man, short. And he came around the corner of the building and he talks like this, glory to God, hallelujah. And that's how he talked all the time. It was like this man was wired forever. It's like he had his fingers in a socket and the electricity from the Lord kept flowing through him. And so when you're trying to introduce someone like that to your boss, it's very difficult. And so he came in he came in with my pastor, and in front of me sold my pastor a refrigerator that my pastor didn't want. And I thought, this man could sell snow to an Eskimo. He said, what are you doing? It was Friday night. What are you doing after this? I said, I'm going to my coffee shop, which is a huge folk singing coffee shop. And I used to sing there. I actually can play the guitar, and I used to sing at this coffee shop. I was a folk singer. And so I waited in this place. I'm well known. And I go into this place to wait for him, but he already preceded me. And he was waiting in this coffee shop. Huge place. It's fact. And I'm trying to look for him, and I couldn't see him. And all of a sudden, I hear this, Nigel, hallelujah. And I wanted to die. I mean, I was young, I was slick, I was arrogant, I was proud, I wanted people to like me, and I was going to lose all my reputation on one evening by this little short guy. And he was as bold as a badger, not a hair on his head. And I tried to ignore him, which you never do with the bishop, right? So he stands up on top of a table, right? And he goes, Rakushikai ratabakundai. My God, I ran to him. Hallelujah. Because I knew if I could run to him. And we sat there until all the place emptied. And I knew my reputation was in tatters. But what I was about to receive from him was priceless. And there are times in meetings that I'm walking in his DNA. And I think to myself, wrong. Not that funny stuff, I'm walking in his spirit. I'm walking in the anointing that he imparted into me. At the end, we come out of that coffee shop and he grabs the proprietor of the business by the wrists. And he said, how's business going, my brother? Got a word of knowledge, it wasn't going too good. And the guy said, I'm really going through things financially. He said, can I pray for you? And before he could answer, he was rapashunding, holding this man's hands. And I watched the owner try to pull his hands back, and Ron held on for dear life. But he left something. He left something. I actually opened a church for him in Texas years ago. He's gone to be with the Lord years ago now. But I opened a church for him in Texas, and I asked the pastor, I said, what was it like when the bishop arrived? Because I described Ron. I said, he's short and he's bald. And the guy that met him had a blonde wig on. And it was Ron. The bishop was wearing a blonde wig. And the pastor asked Ron, I heard you were bald. Why are you wearing a blonde wig? And he said, because I hear blondes have more fun. Hallelujah. See, I find this with men of God, and I've had the thrill and the blessing of being in their ministry. I find that God, we are an eccentric bunch of people. And I gave up trying to be normal, because the more you get saturated and into the presence of God, you become more God-like than human-like. And there is a very heavy glory and a very heavy presence in this place. I want to say this, the honor of fathers and not the dishonor of fathers will bring you unto another level of ministry unlike anything you could ever imagine. Hela Rabba Shaka Briata. Heho Shakalabro Zadegi Seya. Kandorosa Priata Bokoprasataya. I want us to turn in the scripture tonight, please. I want us to slip into Exodus 14. To a well-known story tonight. I don't know where this is going. But I so feel the presence. I find that when I and walking in the presence of God, it wanes and then comes back. It wanes and then comes back. Many of us give up on the waning, and we never keep walking in it. So it's like billows that come and go. It's like sea the beach. The sea comes in and it goes out, but it's guaranteed to always come back in. As a man of God, and I've been 50 years in the ministry, as a man of God, I've got to tell you that the presence of God is everything to me. Without it, I can't do anything. I never went to Bible school. I'm not against Bible schools. I've taught at many. I've never went to Bible school. I'm not credentialed. Even to this day, I'm an uncredentialed ministry. Now, I have an organization called Revival Fire Ministries that has the authority to credential ministry, but I am personally not credentialed. Because what we do, we place a great emphasis on some card of authority that declares that we are something, but God places a great emphasis on unction and presence on our life. It's unction and presence that opens doors. It's not our card. It's not having an ordination certificate on the wall that tells us that we are a man of God. You are a man of God because God has given you an unction. And the unction comes as you wait upon the Lord and the presence of God, and you wait on the Holy Ghost. The unction will come. God will cause the unction. You know, there's an old saying, it takes unction to function. You need unction to function. Functioning without unction is dead. And I've been blessed to be in the company of many men who carried an unction. Were they flawed? Yes. God uses flawed vessels. Look at yourself. We are all flawed vessels. We only see our faults more than other people can see them. If you see faults in me tonight, just join me for supper and I'll roll out a whole bunch of other faults that you haven't even considered yet. And it staggers me that God would even use me. When we're in the middle of revival in the 90s, when God was pouring out the joy of the Lord, I would sit in meetings and bawl my eyes out because I was so grateful that God could use such a flawed vessel like me. I was staggered that He would use me. But He's so precious. And I love Him dearly. Let's read this. We know the story well. We don't want to recap. But Moses takes Israel to the Red Sea. They're about to cross it. Verse 9, the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army. And so they're after Israel. They're after the slaves. Verse 10, when Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked up, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and the Israelites were exceedingly frightened and cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you treated us this way and brought us out of Egypt? Did we not tell you in Egypt, 'Let us alone, we will serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And so Moses told the people, "Fear not, stand still, firm, confident, undismayed, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you this day. For the," listen to this, and he utters a prophetic word, "For the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall never see again." Hallelujah. They approached the Red Sea as slaves. They were running from their common enemy. But it's a preceding verse in another chapter that caught my eye in this. And I want to share that before I continue on. It's in Exodus chapter 13 and verse 19. "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, For Joseph had strictly sworn the Israelites, saying, surely God will be with you, and you must carry my bones away from here. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. There is something about the DNA of Joseph, who himself was a deliverer. And it would have been remiss of Moses not to pick up those bones that still had life, that still had DNA, and he carried them into the promised land. Well, in the journey into the promised land. And I noticed the respect and the honor of those that had gone before. And I recall men of God that have deeply impacted my life, because when I was growing up, I was such a slave person and a slave mentality. And things in my life had to be broken in order for God to use me. You can't serve God and be the man or woman of God unless you're prepared to be broken. And the church never want to hear that. Because we come into a church culture that everybody's got to smile, look good, we're going to go through nothing, we're going to have no problems. That is a lie from any pulpit that gets preached that way. You're going to go through hell and high water to be the person that God wants to use you in. Why does God allow us to go through trouble and trial? Why does God allow you to do this? It's because he wants you to learn to rule your spirit under pressure. I mean, every prophetic word that I got concerning ministry, I had more hands laid on me than the piano. And I'm telling you, every prophet would lay hands on me and prophesy over me into the ministry. But God knew, and I didn't know, but God knew that he had a lot of work with me. See, we think we come to God and do him a favor by giving our lives to him. For God's sake, slap yourself. We come with all our problems into the kingdom and we say, God, I want to be used. But God's going to teach you to rule your spirit under pressure, because you are going to come under pressure, even serving God as a leader. You're going to come under pressure. You can't cave in. You can't run and head for the hills. You've got to steady yourself. You have to know when to steady yourself and not succumb to the pressure. The Bible says, I will harden you to difficulties. And we go through some difficulties. And I love that verse. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. There's a scripture in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. If you'd be so kind to turn to that tonight. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the eternal paths where the good old way is. Then walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Today's church is always looking for the new thing. But it's the eternal paths that give us rest. That's why it's good to go back on men of God and look at what they did and how they did it, and understand and try and look at the anointing they carried to do what they had to do. It's good to go back into past revivals and see what happened and how the success of it, but also understand the failure of men in a move of God. Hands up those who've heard of Steve Hill of the Brownsville Revival. Anybody? No? And amazing. Not many. Steve Hill, on Father's Day, John Kilpatrick of the Assemblies of God in Brownsville, running a church of about 1,500 people, and he was waiting on a move of God, waiting on a revival, an outpouring of the Spirit. In the meantime, his mother died, and he was stricken with grief. And Father's Day was about to come, and he asked Steve Hill, who was a traveling evangelist, freshly just come in from Argentina. He was with that major ministry in Argentina, still having revival today. Thousands of people, this guy. And anyway, he came in from there, and he was seeking to live in America. So what happens, he rings Steve. He'd preached for John Kilpatrick a few times and said, "Steve, would you fill in for me on Father's Day?" He said, "I'm just not up to preaching." And Steve said, "Listen, I'm taking vacation. I'm ready to take my kids to Orlando, to Disneyland." He said, "I'll do one meeting. That's one meeting only." So he came there and preached the most boring message I've ever heard in my life. You can get it on YouTube. Just put in "Steve Hill boring message." And so you listen to the message, and honestly, you're going to sleep. You think, when will this ever finish? But he had an altar call, and when he announced the altar call, John Kilpatrick rolled his eyes and said, "All I want to do is get out of this building." And so he has an altar call, and they rush the altar sovereignly. And so Steve is starting to pray for people on the altar call, and he beckons John Kilpatrick to come down off the platform and help him pray. And that's the last thing that John Kilpatrick wanted to do. But as he came down the steps of the stage, as he came down to the last step, all of a sudden in front of him was a fierce flowing river. And he said, "If I step into that river, I'll drown." And he went back up, and as he got back up onto the stage, the power of God touched him. It was the river of God that God was showing him, but it was real in vision form. And when he got up onto the stage, he was struck by the power of God, and he was out for hours just up on the platform. They got to the end of the afternoon, and Steve said, "Do you want another meeting tonight? Who will stay for another meeting?" And every person raised their hand. He said, "I'm going back to the hotel to change my suit, and I'll come back for the night meeting." He came back for the night meeting, and the people hadn't moved. In fact, there were more people and more crowds there, and he never did get to Disneyland. He was there for 5 years as people from all over the world came to see that man of God. And I got an opportunity. He was very sick, dying of cancer. He's now gone to be with Jesus. And I made a statement to my coordinator, who knew his daughter. I said, "You know, it would be a great thing to see Steve. I would just love to be in his presence." See, I'm this kind of guy. "Come out. What's your name?" "Nigel." "Come out, Nigel." When I know there's a man of God, I want to be able to go, I want to get close, and I want to rub some of that on me. Because I learned this in history, that the anointing is not taught, it's caught. You catch it from people. You catch something in the realm of the spirit. And then I got the guilt, so I thought, no, I can't go and see him. He's dying of cancer. He racked with pain. And I said to my coordinator, "Listen, just don't ask." And so she went back to Kelsey, Steve Hill's daughter, and said, "Nigel's backed out because he is in sympathy of your dad's health." And she said, "I feel really strongly that he needs to get with him." So they set up a meeting. And Kathy and I went to the little pokey office that he was in. And I walked into this room, and I could barely hold myself up because of the glory of God on this man. There was such a heavy presence. And I sat there, and very gracious. He turned around to me and said, "Brother, I'd really like to hear all about you." And I said, "Brother Steve, we've got this wrong. I don't want that. It's not about me. This is about, I want to hear about you. And I want to hear about the anointing on your life." The way he was grimacing in pain and twisting around in his seat, I knew I'd be lucky to get 10 minutes out of him. My wife's with me, and we're sitting in this man's presence, and I'm fighting back tears. And as I sat there, I felt transference beginning. And I was so overawed by the transference that was happening. Without any prayer, I was totally overcome by this. And so I sat in this office with this man, and after about 20 minutes, I thought, I've got to tell him I'm ready to go. I don't want him suffering anymore. And I said, Brother Steve, I said, I am so honored and appreciate this so much, but I'm going to take my leave off you. And he looked up with tears streaming down his eyes and he said, Brother, I love talking about the kingdom. And it went on for another 3 hours. And I sat in this man's presence. If it hadn't have been a seat in there, I would have fallen over on the floor. There's something about an anointing on a spiritual father that carries such a lot of weight for a son. When I sat there with him, abruptly he got up. He was finished after 3 hours and 20 minutes. He got off his seat. And before he could go, I said, would you mind laying hands on us, on Kathy and I? And he said, absolutely. And he laid hands on Kathy and I, and we fell like bricks. I mean, I remember Rodney one time, he said this to me. He said, learn to stand up under the anointing, because every Holy Ghost bar needs a barman. He said, you get touched, but you've got to learn how to stand up under the anointing so you can minister to others. And so I practiced that. So it takes a lot to get me, but I fell like a brick. As we were falling, my wife and I lost physical sight. We opened our eyes and we were both blind, physically blinded. As we lay there on the floor, I was facing Kathy, and in the realm of the spirit, it was like I actually could see it. My eyes were open because I'm trying to gain my sight. It was a little scary, trying to gain my sight, but I found myself with Kathy caught up in the vortex of a tornado. And when I finally came to, my eyesight was restored, and I woke up and Steve had gone. We left there, and I'll be honest with you, the impartation I got from him took me months to process. I was under such a weight of glory. And when I went, I left Texas, and I went to my spiritual son in Danuba, California. And my wife and I are sitting in the prophet's chamber. You've got a beautiful, used to be a car dealership, beautiful apartment, and I'm sitting in this apartment, and she leaned over to me. We're both lying on the bed, just watching a bit of television. My coordinator is actually Steve Hill's house with Kelsey, the daughter. And Kathy leaned over to me and she said, honey, how are you feeling right now? And I said, I'm feeling incredibly lonely. And I said, how are you feeling? She said, I feel exactly the same, incredibly lonely. And with that, a text comes through from Steve Hill. And this is what the text said. He said, you're not alone. Here's a man on the very portals of glory. You're not alone. He said, the army of the Lord doth surround you, and I am with you. And when we got that, we just were, you can imagine the mess we were in then. Because feeders, people who feed, get lonely. We can be surrounded by people and be at our most lonely because we're always feeding, we're never being fed. Always feeding. There's a prophet coming to this meeting. He's trying to get to come in Oklahoma City, where I'm going to be there shortly. And he prophesies. I said, get his hands on me. I was way back in the day before I was baptized in the Spirit. Are you okay with what I'm sharing today? You all right? And because I'm trying to show you that mantles and fathers and impartations and spiritual DNA is vital for you to function under the anointing of the Spirit of God. And I was a Baptist, and two Baptist brothers who I did not know, I used to stay with them off and on. One's gone to be with the Lord, one's just about to go. And I used to stay with them. I come from a broken home. My father and mother divorced. It was a hellish time. And so I would go to and fro from these bachelors. And so I went to this, there was a meeting on, and they asked me, would you like to go to this meeting? And I thought it was a Baptist meeting. And so I said, I would love to go. I wasn't long saved. And we went to this meeting, and I walked into a town hall venue, and it was just a sea of people, packed, absolutely packed. And I walked into this place, and the first thing I noticed was that the song leader, the worship leader, was bouncing and dancing all over the place, and I'd never seen my pastor crack a sweat. And so here they are dancing all over the place, and I thought, this is crazy. There was no hymn books, there was only... Remember the old slide projectors and the songs go up on the screen. The place was packed. And all of a sudden, I was sitting between these two brothers. Out of the wings came this rather bumptious, obnoxious man of a preacher. And he spat and he sweated and he had stains of sweat all over his suit by the time he got wound up into things. And he was a most unusual person. And I hated every moment of it. And I tried to get out on the worship, and the brothers just raised their hands to the Lord waist high and kept me in there. I felt imprisoned for God's sake. I couldn't get out of this thing. And I was hating this. I leaned over and I said, is this Baptist? He said, well, not quite. Not quite Baptist, right? He was a sneaky baptism of the Holy Ghost guy. This guy was. And so I said, okay, that's all right. And all of a sudden we got through the night, and this guy, he calls a woman out on a walking stick, and she comes out like this, out to the front. And I'm looking, I'm absolutely beyond anything that you could ever imagine. To me, I'm in hell, and all I want to do is get out of hell, run back to the Baptist church, and be totally silent for the rest of my life. This woman comes out. He comes up to this woman and he kicks the stick from out underneath her. I went, my God, he's assaulting an old lady. And I thought, I'm in total hell here. He kicks the stick out and he grabs the stick and he prods her in the butt. Can I say butt? I said toot this morning, butt tonight. I hope I'm okay here. And he jabs her and he says, in the Holy Ghost, walk. Walk, I say. And he's jabbing her in the rear end. Jabbing her in the rear end. And she's like this. She's like, I said walk in the name of Jesus. I thought to myself, God, doesn't someone arrest this man? Where are the police when you need them, for God's sake? Walk, I say. And anyway, what happened? She picked up and she started to run. And he chased her. Come on. I said, run. I said, run. I said, run. I said, run. And he said, hallelujah. And all I could see was the assaulted an old lady. I never saw or understood the miracle for about a couple of months afterwards. He grabs the stick. I learned to hate that stick. He grabs this woman's walking stick. She's still running around the church. He said, 50 young people, there's many hundreds there, 50 young people stand to their feet immediately. They stood to their feet. He grabbed the stick and he goes, whoosh, like this. And 50 hit the deck sovereignly in the power of God. He's killed the youth. I was horrified. I've never seen this behavior in church before. I thought, God, I've died and gone to hell. Hallelujah. Whoosh, he did. Then we come to the service, the altar call. by this state, I'm in a total shell shock position. I don't know whether I'm coming or going. All I know, I wish I was going and not coming. And I'm in the place, and I'm not embellishing this, if I was to really tell you what happened. And so he says, those that want to receive, and he spat when he said it, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You wanted a water baptismal service, you got it right here, free of charge. Free of charge. So it comes up to this, we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So, hands up those who haven't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And these Baptist brothers got an arm each of me and went like this. Glory to God. I thought, there's going to be a murder in the house tonight. Hallelujah. So he came. They lifted me up physically. They lifted the rat bags and they maneuvered me out to the front and put me right in front of this guy. And he's spitting and sweating and the most repulsive person. And I thought so then. So he says to me, he says, brother, if you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I was a baptist, I thought we had a handle on all the baptisms offering. And I said, yes, I have. I'm a Baptist. With that, he had deafness and immediately began to lay hands on my head. Now, understand this, I was young and I had taken an hour to do my hair. That was the day I had hair. And so I'd done it all. He gets on my head. He pounces on it like something. And he lands on my head, my well-groomed hair. In the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm thinking, my God. And I'm fighting him in the spirit. Probably demons now when I think about it. All I want to do is run out of that place and go home. But he wouldn't let me go. He had such a stranglehold on my head. And so much so, he said, and of course, all Pentecostals do this if it's not working. Bring out some brothers and sisters. Come on, we're going to pray for this guy. We're going to bring him through. I thought, no, no. While he was praying, while the others, the brethren were praying for me, there was such pressure on my body that I ended up like this, like Elvis Presley in a Las Vegas concert. But I was like this and I could not change my position. And I was getting really angry, very sore in my joints and very tired of all this. Then I look out the corner of my eye and he had one of those door stoppers that stopped the draft from coming under the door. You know those things, those... What do you call them? Draft stoppers. Will that do? I just made that up. But you know, one of those things that stop the draft from coming in. So he had this thing and he's praying and he's stepping on it. Come out, you stinking devil. Come out. And I watch him and I think, I'm in a blooming madhouse here. I'm in a crazy house. And it was like he was using that as a symbolically to pray for the devil in my life. Come out, I said. Come out like this. And I thought, I'm in a nutshell. And I thought, if I can just get some leverage with my hand, I'll pop him. Because I was a bit of a lad in my day, see. And I knew if I could just get some leverage, I'd get him. But the way they had me and the way they were praying for me, I couldn't get enough swing. Then out of my stomach, all of a sudden there was a shift. And something erupted on the inside of me. And it must have been because I was a Baptist that the tongues that came out of my mouth, the decibels would have filled a stadium. And I am now being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the tongues have just rolling out of my mouth, and I'm listening to myself. And because I was being so transported into the glory of God, all the Baptist questions didn't matter anymore. My reputation didn't matter anymore. I was just getting a dose of the Ghost, and I loved it. In fact, it was so powerful that I could only speak in tongues for 48 hours. I could not speak a word of English. I'd think in English, but I could only speak in tongues, which made shopping at the supermarket very embarrassing. That was the last time I ever saw him. His name was Ray Bloomfield. I was having lunch with a guy, and he was a personal friend of Ray Bloomfield. Ray Bloomfield, I think, if he's still alive, lives in Canada. And I was telling him that, and this guy turned around to me and he said, "Hold on a minute." And he dialed this number. And Ray Bloomfield picked up the phone. "Hello." And I said, "You don't know me." And I told him the story. He said, "Dear one." He's very polite, "Dear one." And he loved hearing the story. That was several years ago that I spoke to him. He could be passed by now. Anyhow, that's not the upshot. And the reason why I've told the story is this. I was in a church in Austin many moons ago, my wife and I, in a morning service. And this was a prophetic ministry. Actually, his name escapes me right now. I just can't think of his name. And I was scheduled for one Sunday morning, and I never do that anywhere. But I scheduled for a Sunday morning, and we had a total blowout. Amazing blowout. And he said to me after the meeting, he said, "You have a breakthrough anointing like my spiritual father." And I said, "Who might your spiritual father be?" He said, "Brother Ray Bloomfield." See, you've got to be always awake in the spirit, because men and women carry things that need to be transferred onto others. The necessity to transfer means we get filled with more. And I've sat at the feet of some of these most amazing men and women of God and receive from them. Who's heard of Reinhard Bonnke? Reinhard Bonnke was a young man and went to the house of George Jeffreys. And George Jeffreys was being used with his brother in England to bring the supernatural and the miraculous. And he, a young German man, of course, I think he was 20 or 21 or whatever he was, knocked on this door, and the housekeeper answered the door. And he said, "I've come to see George Jeffreys." And she said, "I'm not taking visitors right. He's not taking visitors right now." And all of a sudden, a voice behind the housekeeper said, "Who is this?" And he said, "My name is Reinhard Bonnke from Africa. I would like to see you." And they stood in the foyer of his house. And he said, "What do you want me to do with you, son?" He said, "I want you to impart the miraculous to me." And I heard Benny Hinn tell the story. And with that, they stood in the foyer of the house. And he laid hands on Reinhard Bonnke. The both of them went out in the power of God. And the transference was made. Reinhard Bonnke went on to be the great man of God he is and still is. And George Jeffreys died. There's something about respect for the mantle and respect for carriers, because God wants to bring you in contact with carriers so that you too become a carrier. We're bought with a price. I remember Prophet Dale Gentry prophesied over me many, many years ago. He said, "You are not your own." He said, "You belong to another." And out of all the prophetic word that he ever said, that was the word that stuck in my spirit. I do not belong to myself. You do not belong to you. You belong to God. God has your life. He gives you life. What you do with your life is your gift back to God. What are you doing with your life? What do you want God to do? Can you dare to dream bigger than you've ever dreamed in your life? Maxwell Wyatt, who's heard of Maxwell Wyatt, came out to our church in New Zealand about 356 years ago. And he came out to our church and he made this statement. He said this, "See yourself doing great things." If you want to move in healing, all you can get your hands on is a dog that's sick. Get the dog healed, for God's sake. And I wanted to preach more than anything else. I never graduated. No one ever taught me homiletics. I thought homiletics was a pot plant. Anyway, so I didn't know what it was. So I used to go out, because I come from New Zealand, and we have something like 4 million sheep, bigger population of sheep than people. So I used to go out into the fields, any farmer's field would do, and I would stand out there in the field and I begin to preach to sheep. The call of God was so potent in my life and I was so filled with all this impartation, but no, I wasn't able to vent it, so I vented it on sheep. Preach like a house on fire. Get in the shower. Preach like I'd preach in the shower. Every time I had a shower, I'd preach the gospel in the shower. Call of God wouldn't leave me alone. It chased me down. It never let me rest unless I was doing what I was called to do. I've tried businesses all through my life, all failed, lost money. And I've got to be honest with you, I've been through hell and high water, but I love this life. I love doing what I do. I'm honored to do. I can't believe God would use a person like me. But however, I've been walking with Him for 50 years in ministry, and I love Him dearly. The more I know Him, the more I love Him. God wants to raise men and women out of this assembly that'll pick up on the Father's anointing and go out and serve Him and create havoc for the devil, create havoc in hell for the devil. These men of God, oddballs, strange people, crazy mannerisms. But they carried something that I could see. And what they carried made me just look past all the eccentric parts about their life. And none of us are normal. You get around Jim, and I know, look, he's wearing a suit, but you get around Jim, he is not normal out of his conversation. And he's a straight shooter. See, that's what God wants. God wants us to be a straight shooter. If you've got the call of God, you have to trust God with a message. And sometimes we need to be spoken to in such a way. Then I met Rodney Howe Brown. Live with him in the house. And every night after a meeting, after we had supper, he'd come down. He'd come to me and Kathy were in our room, and all he had talked to me about was finances. Every night he'd talk to me about finances. And our finances were in disarray. He just talked to me about finances. Talked to me about sowing and reaping. Talked to me about giving. Talked to me about tithing. That's all he talked about. In the end, I thought, if I hear one more word about money out of this man's mouth, I'll cut his head off. But it changed my financial life. It was that man's anointing. When he prayed for me, he said to me, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "You need to come to America and get on the road and just believe God." He actually asked me to go with him, and I felt not to at the time. But he said, "You need to get on the road and you need to start bringing and stewarding revival." I said to Rodney, I said, "I'm 46 for God's sake." He said, "Get and do it." So then I had to go to my wife and my boys and say, "Listen, guess what? We're hitting the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more." Glory to God. So at the age of 46, we hit the road. And we've been on the road for 24 years. Ups and downs, good meetings, bad meetings, religious meetings, Jezebel meetings. The Jezebel meetings are fun. Nigel, would you come and deal with a Jezebel spirit in the church? Glory to God. Oh, yes, I respond. I love talking to Jezzies. Did you know there's Jezebels and Jezebobs? Oh, I've talked to a few Jezebobs in my time as well. And we've been doing it ever since. My wife is back with grandchildren in this particular season. And the one thing she grieves about is being on the road, living in a one-room hotel, and ministering the gospel and seeing the power of God come. You know, I never even preached tonight. Didn't even preach my message tonight, for God's sake. Ron died. He ended up in an old people's home in California. Passed on to be with the Lord. But his anointing still lives in people, because he didn't make the mistake of not reproducing himself. He reproduced himself and passed everything on that he carried to others. So I'm telling you tonight, I just sense an amazing presence of the Lord in this house. And I believe there needs to be an impartation tonight. I carry impartation in my DNA. I'm dropping everything tonight. The same way that men prayed for me, I would like to pray for you. That whatever's good in me, whatever I carry, and I don't just carry the anointing that God has given me, I carry the anointing of two or three people that have deeply affected my life. So tonight, hands up those who really want to serve God. I'm here to tell you there's no age bracket with this game. If you can breathe and talk, you're hired. I used to pastor for a number of years, and I remember I had a church, a reasonable-sized church of about 600-700 people, and I got everybody that was over 65 retirement years, I would get them all out in the parking lot of our church, and I got them, as people came in this public parking lot, because we were renting a facility, and they came into the church, I would pray, they would pray, God, fill them with the Holy Ghost. And people would get drunk driving in. You'd see them coming normally and then swerve a little as they try to find a park, as all the gray hairs or the over 65s would pray the Holy Ghost come on them. One lady, she had a tambourine. The usher opened the door. One of these retirees opened the door, and she was playing a tambourine. She fell out onto the parking lot. There are adventures that God wants to take you on that will inspire you, take you to countries you've never seen, meet people you've never met, hear things you've never heard, see things you've never seen before. Powerful. Absolutely powerful. Can I close with one more story? Seems to be a bit of a story night tonight. But I was in Phoenix, and I was invited to live television for TBN. And I went down to the show, and hands up those who remember Wonder Woman. Remember Wonder Woman? Her sister, Pam, was running this particular show, and the show was a panel of preachers talking about revival. And so I sat there on the stage on this, you know, TBN with the gaudy furniture and the gold whatever. So I'm sitting on my little throne, probably the only throne I'll ever get. And I'm sitting up there while everyone was waxing finally about revival. And I never said too much on the television, but when it was over, I stood up. And as I stood up, Wonder Woman's sister stood right in front of me. She's a little short, very pretty girl, like her sister. And she said to me, I said, what can I do for you? She said, I want the joy now. And I hadn't even moved past the stage. And I laid hands on her. She collapsed in a heap and broke off into this crazy, maniacal joy. Then from the floor, she says, see that man over there? I said, yes, he's my husband. He needs a prophetic word. And somehow it came to me. And I said, come over here, mate. So he came over and I prophesied, give him a prophetic word. Then another guy came. He said, this is one of the panelists. I'm having problems in my church and my life. Do you pray for me? He went out in the power of God. Then I end up praying for all the panel. They went out in the power of God. Then I went down to the cameramen and started praying for the cameramen. They went out in the power of God. Then I went to the window where all these people were taking phone calls and money. I turned around and I said, look at me. And they looked at me and I said, filled with the Holy Ghost. And the whole lot fell over and phones went everywhere. There is adventures, spiritual adventures that God wants to take you on. I want everybody to stand. If one of the ushers could get rid of this podium, that would be wonderful. Thank you. Father, we thank you today for your presence. We stand amazed in your presence tonight. We want to be stewards of your presence. I believe there are two realms of operation. You can operate out of the gift God gave you, or you can operate out of the presence when he sends it. For me personally, I'd rather function out of the presence than my gift. You can function out of both, but there's something about the sovereign presence of God. If you are wanting ministry, if you're wanting to serve God, you need to get around every man, every carrier that you can find that touches your heart. He's got to touch your heart though. Father, we thank you tonight for the glory of God. We thank you for your presence. Your beautiful, holy, amazing, awesome presence. Touch us tonight, Father. I believe there's an anointing of commissioning in this house tonight, of divine impartation. Paul said, I long to come and bring spiritual gifts. I believe tonight every man of God carries gifts for the church. And I come as a man bearing gifts for you tonight. I want everyone to raise your hands tonight, please. Get your radar up there. Start to receive. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the anointing. I thank you for your presence tonight. You are glorious and you are wonderful. In the name of Jesus. Joel, come here, please. Father, I pray for this man tonight that the very glory of God would touch him. God is going to so unwind you from business. I know I had a word about this before, but it's so strong on me tonight. God's going to so unwind you with business and wind you up into ministry. Tick, 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 tick. The clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. And God's going to bring opportunity, but you must place yourself in the place where those opportunities can meet you. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for this man. Tick, tick, tick. The clock doesn't stop. Father, I pray, make this possible in every level that he can unwind from this and be about the business of the King. In the name of Jesus. Hands up those who are. Jim, do you have any young men you want me to pray for specifically for the call of God? Would you, or do you want me to get them out, or do you want to bring them out? I'd rather do it you bringing him out. No, I'd rather you do it and bring him out. Just be seated for a minute. I'm going to get to you. But I'd rather have the shepherd pull some people out that I can impart to tonight. In the name of Jesus. Put your hand on your heart. Say, thank you for the presence. Say, I love you, Jesus. Do you remember an old song, Jesus, use me, please, Lord, don't refuse me? Surely there's a work that I can do. God, use me. Don't look at your imperfections. Look at God's perfection. Father, we thank you today for the Holy Spirit. I tell you, I sense tonight God's hand's heavy on you tonight. And it's on you because there's a shift coming. There's a shift coming. You're going from one level to another level, but you're going to go from one area of cost to another area of cost. You're a man that has been restrained under the mighty hand of God. Brace yourself for the ride of your life in Jesus' mighty name. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, raise your hands, dear brother. Father, right now, touch this brother. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, years of carrying DNA of men of God. I'm praying today the impartation would arrest this young man's heart in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Holy Ghost, that which is in me, arrest this man in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hila rabashiki alabriata bakupriata. Hila sarumoriataya. Father, whoosh now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hura mashiriata bakupriata. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you for this man tonight, Holy Spirit. In fact, every person that's on this altar call, and there's a shift coming. That's the word I'm getting in my spirit. There is such a shift coming. You've been like treading water, but the days of treading water and going around and around are going to stop, and God's bringing you into other levels, and he's going to put more demands on your life. Shakarama shakai, more demands. More demands, more cost, but greater ministry in the precious name of Jesus. Father, I say, who sharamataya. Father, who shakabriata. Lord, invest into this man tonight in Jesus' precious name. Rashebre majebroneya. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Kilorama shakaboriata. To all of you a shift. All of you a shift. Raise your hand, sir. Father, touch this man tonight. Power of God. Power of God. Ripatubriata briata. Aramasupriata. There's a season coming for you where you're going to start to catch things in the spirit. Not taught things. You're going to start to catch things in the spirit. You're going to say, I wonder where that come from. Glory to God, tonight is going to be one of the reasons. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray for this dear man. Father, I just minister the Holy Spirit in Jesus' awesome, mighty, mighty name. In the name of Jesus. You know what I found? I found many times, and I'm with myself, I just put myself in the way for God to use me. One of the things Abraham had going for him, two things. Number one, he was flexible, but he was also available. And all these men were laden with mistakes, but they were flexible and they're available. So here's my question to you. How available are you really? Sobering thought. Raise your hands. Man, I love your car, but God wants you to give it to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, touch this precious man in the name of Jesus. In the name of, I sense an anointing on you. Glory to God. Glory to God. The hands that play will be the hands that heal. The hands that play will be the hands that heal. There is such an anointing coming down of healing, a healing ministry on your life. Don't be afraid to step out and take risks or make yourself vulnerable. You're going to start to see some miracles come as a result of these hands. It won't be always playing, but it will be always praying for sick people in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, glory to God, touch him tonight. Arrest this man in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. I want everybody to stand tonight. Father, right now, Holy Ghost, touch this man by the power of God in the name of Jesus. Father, glory to God. I impart to this man tonight in Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, this is what we want to do. Look, it's only 6:45. Isn't God good with time? Hallelujah. Do you love Jesus tonight?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Are you available?
Yes.
Are you available?
Yes.
You might not be that gifted, but if you're available, God will give you gifts. I came into this walk with no gift, except I was available and I had enough enthusiasm to sink the Titanic. Hallelujah. And as an added bonus from the apostle of joy, I got a little bit of joy in me. Glory to God. I did. I got a bit of joy. And I love the joy of the Lord. It's awesome. You know, people look at you if you walk through Walmart smiling. But sometimes the Lord will zap me in Walmart. My life's pretty narrow, really. It's either the hotel, the church, or a Walmart. If I ever see you in Walmart and I recognize you as being from this church, I will pray for you for sure. Hallelujah. I went to a girl one time at the checkout. This is in Texas, in Conroe, Texas. And I said, hello, how are you doing today? And she said, can I ask you a personal question? I said, yes. She said, why are you so happy? And I thought to myself, it's such a strange event in her life to have someone happy. She had to question me to see where I got mine from. Hallelujah. Joy is infectious. You walk into a room and you're smiling and you're happy. Glory to God. It's an atmosphere changer. Right? That's why we should look in the mirror before we come to church to see how other people see us. Hallelujah. I want to pray for every person that wants an impartation on ministry tonight. I want everybody to come out, stand down the front like we did this morning. If there's no room up the front, move to the side, and we can feed the front as people get prayer and go back to their seat tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel really good about you and your wife. Where's your wife? Oh, I feel really good about you too. And you got the new car, right? The new car is great, but it's indicative of what other things are coming down the chute. I really believe that's just the beginning. Because the new car's good, you know, for a week or two, it's lovely. But then after that, it's just a car, right? But what happened to you with the car is indicative of what's going to happen in the realm of the Spirit. So this is your season to shine. This is your season to be blessed. It's your season for God to overcome you with blessings. Hallelujah. So receive that in the name of Jesus. I don't know you from Adam, and I've never met Adam. Glory to God. But I'm telling you something. The blessing of God is about to absolutely go in front of you, behind you, sideways. So look for great things to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, you're going to bawl more than you'll laugh because of the goodness of God. God is incredibly good. Say, God is good. You need to have a revelation of the goodness of God. God is good. Even in the most worst times of your life, thank God for God. He is good. And you, my dear, are going to exhibit a joy unspeakable and full of glory. I see a season of much joy. Glory be to God. Much joy. Lou, I want you to say, much joy.
Much.
Glory to God. Glory to, oh, hallelujah. Kila rama shakara mabriata. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't walk through life trying to count, you know, you count what money you've got in the bank, and I can't give tithes because I'm counting my money. Some of you go through life like this. God wants you to be abandon yourself to the goodness of God. Hallelujah. You don't need a calculator. You wouldn't have a calculator big enough if you embrace the blessing of God on your life. You are going to get so sozzled now in the Holy Ghost. Say, I want to be sozzled.
I want to be sozzled.
Yes, glory to God. Lord, the joy of the Holy Ghost, touch her right now in the name of Jesus. Father, whooshakabai, in the name of Jesus. Kelaramasha. You know what? You are such a bright spark. You can hold hands with her later. Hallelujah. Father, right now, the joy of the Holy Ghost, the joy, Lord, drunk in the Spirit. I said, drunk in the Spirit. No, I won't go away. Drunk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come here, mate. Hallelujah. Father, now, Lord, you touch the wife. She is your wife, right?
Yes.
I just checking. Hey. Lord, touch him tonight, Father, by the Holy Ghost. I said the joy of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you.
Rete priyata bakai. Turn them inside out and outside in. Hila rama tokaya. Now, whooshaka priyata bakushikiyatai. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. What do you stop laughing for? Prime the pump in the name of Jesus. Rete kuriyata bakupuriyata. Hallelujah. How's your back?
Good.
Is it good?
Yes.
Shababubble. Hallelujah. 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 Uradaba shakabariyata. In the name of Jesus, let the joy, the joy, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord. You know, when I greet my day, I step out and I say to the Lord, I'm so happy. I am happy. It's almost disgusting. Glory to God. My wife tells me, she said, you're so happy. She said, I can't even bear it. She tells me that. She said, you're always 24/7. Every day we get up, you're always happy because I've got the joy. See, when you've got the joy, you're always happy. You're always happy. You're always happy. In Jesus' precious name, release the joy of the Holy Ghost. Of the Holy Ghost. Of the Holy Ghost. Father, now, there it is. Glory to God. Raise your hands, gorgeous. Eleromoteya. Ushakaba aramasekiteliata. Rasa delebriata bakupuriata. Glory to God. Like a room filled with junk. Like a room filled with junk and obstacles. God's going to do a house cleaning. God's going to walk through your personal life, and there's going to be shifting of this and taking away of that and putting this in, replacing things. Things of decay, God's going to replace it with things that are whole. God is going to bring some changes. I see Him shifting stuff around in your life and the blessing of God overtaking you beyond anything that you have ever experienced in your life. Get ready, get ready, get ready, for the Holy Ghost is going to overtake you with the blessing of the Spirit of God. Repati aramata patoya. Father, now, life and that more abundantly. Glory to God. 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 Ilaramashaka buriata. Iramati erebriata. Glory to God. I said the joy. I said the joy tonight. God, give her the joy. Give her the joy. Gure meshi, contagious happiness in the name of Jesus. Lebriata boteya. Get her drunk in the Holy Ghost. 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 Get her drunk. Kuraba. Get her drunk in the Holy Ghost. Shaka munge. Neki lepriata. Now it's your turn, mate. Elebro o debriada boy. Father, touch him tonight with the Holy Ghost. Touch him tonight with the Holy Ghost. Lord, I release the anointing on his life. I release the anointing in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ma she bri doon gay. Minki hinki. Lara maturo bato kopo. The joy, Father, the joy. The joy. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just overtake her. Just overtake her. Get it. So drunk in the Spirit. So drunk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for my brother. I pray. Do you know Ray Bloomfield?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Glory to God.
A number of years.
Oh, good on you. Because I saw you acknowledge that back there. I thought, wow, that's awesome. Father, touch this man tonight by the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I release.
Thank you, Lord.
Those gifts by the power of God. I release Holy Ghost. Rakapokide. The joy of the Holy Ghost. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Karababashi Kariapariata. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Well, howdy doody. Glory to God. Is that Texas talk? I'm not sure. Do you guys say howdy doody?
No. We say howdy, though.
You say howdy?
Howdy.
Howdy. Well, you know, we say g'day, mate. And you say howdy. If I went back to Australia and said howdy, I'd say, who are you? Is your name howdy? Glory to God. Raise your hands. Glory to God. Touch her with the joy tonight. Get her filled with the Holy Ghost. One baptism, many fillings. Kilaramashakai. Whooshakabai. In the name of Jesus, the joy of the Holy Ghost. The joy of the Holy Ghost. Ilarato ribeti kipriata bakushikiatai. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I've just come to ask you, can you say howdy? Glory to God. Do you know how to say howdy? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know how to say howdy?
Howdy.
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 Howdy. Oh, that's a different one. Glory to God. You people are so confusing. Father, the joy of the Holy Ghost. I mean drunk in the Spirit. Wonderful Jesus. How's life treating you?
Good.
Is it good?
Yes.
Yeah. Father, I pray for the Holy Ghost tonight. Lord, let the joy and the wine of heaven be poured out on her tonight in the name of Jesus. Right now, whooshakabai, in Jesus' name. Mr. Bass Player, oh, I like your bass playing, man. Glory to God. Father, get him filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, well, I've been baptized in the Spirit already. Yeah, but you've got to be filled every day of your life. Father, touch this young man. In the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Whoo, shakabriata. Glory to God. Glory to God. You love Jesus tonight? Isn't he fabulous? Can you say howdy? Howdy. Glory to God. You say howdy doody. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shakamuriataya. In the name of Jesus. Can you say howdy doody? Howdy doody. You say howdy doody. Yeah, that's different again. Isn't God great that you can just enjoy the presence of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, now the joy of the Holy Ghost. The joy of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I just release the anointing on this lady right now. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Where are you going? Come back here. Don't you leave here. You're not meant to leave here. Hallelujah. Father, touch her now in the precious name of Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus. Young man, raise your hands. What's your name?
DJ.
I thought it was Howdy. Hallelujah. Can I call you Howdy? Just for tonight. Howdy. Bless Howdy tonight with the joy. In the name of Jesus. Lord, get him blessed. Get him blessed tonight, Lord Holy Ghost. Hey! Lord, I mean, fill him with the Holy Ghost tonight. In the name of Jesus. Fill him with the Holy Ghost tonight. Holy Ghost, yes. Glory to God. Come over here. Come over here. Phil. Glory to God. Father, touch her tonight with the joy of heaven in Jesus' precious name. Father, right now, I release the anointing on her life. On her life. I want you to pick up her and bring her with me. Bring her with me tonight. Would you do that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you're going to have seasons of getting drunk in the Spirit. Glory to God. So is Richard. Come here. Just stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She's called How to S. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, right now, fill with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hebrews, glory to God. Fill him with the Holy Ghost tonight with the joy of heaven in the name of Jesus. Don't fall on them, just pray for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, now, Riki Arondo Kibri Angadeshe. Father, now, glory to God. Fill him with joy in the name of Jesus. Fill him with joy in the name of Jesus. Fill him with joy in the mighty name of Jesus. Fill him with joy. Reheshikai meprosotur ebredegesheya. In the name of Jesus. Raise your hands, girl. Holy Ghost, touch her. The joy of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lebashanda. Fill! In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' name. Is this place crazy or not? Father, touch her tonight, Holy Spirit. Touch her tonight, Holy Spirit. I just release the anointing. How you doing tonight? Can you say howdy?
Howdy.
What? That sounds Japanese to me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Touch her tonight. There it is, the joy, the joy, the joy. Raise your hands, girl. Hallelujah. Father, touch her tonight. Spirit of God, Lord, I release the joy in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Whew. Touch her tonight. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. There it is. 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 Whoa, glory to God. Glory to God. Can you say howdy?
Howdy.
Howdy, I like that. Glory to God. I want everybody to raise your hands and say, God, put laughter in my mouth and joy in my heart, because I'm really miserable. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. God wants you merry. Why do we need the joy? We need the joy to navigate through hard times. You have to have a reservoir of joy to navigate through these trials. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, now the joy, there it is, there it is. Father, now the joy of the Holy Ghost. Raise your hands, girl. Father, now touch her tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, let her feel the presence of God in Jesus' name. My God, you're a tall man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need a long anointing to pray for him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I was almost going to lay hands on his kneecap. Hey! 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 Hallelujah! Get him drunk, Holy Ghost! Get him drunk, Holy Ghost! Now! Aramashakabai! In the name of Jesus. Say, fill me now. Fill me now. Fill me every day. Fill me every minute. Rita Hoho. Glory to God. Who said that? Glory to God. I knew you would say it, Lou. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, now the anointing. Whose glasses are they? Are they yours? I recognize the brand Walmart, isn't it? Glory to God. No, no. Someone said to me, they said, I love your watch. And they said, where did you get it from? And I told them, Walmart sells the best brands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Where's my girl? Get yourself over here. Father, now the joy of the Lord. Glory to God. The joy of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, you're one of the Chantels, aren't you? Yeah, I'd recognize you. Do you like being part of the Chantels? You do it very mostly, she said. So there are times she hates it. Hallelujah. Father, right now, the joy of the Holy Ghost. Well, glory to God. Father, bless her tonight in the name of Jesus, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. There it is. There it is. Glory to God. Yeah, it's all over you. It's all over you. It's just all over you tonight. Yes, it is. Kilara Masheka. Now, you're part of the Chantels as well. I love your smile. My God, light up the room. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I release the joy and the wine of heaven tonight in Jesus' precious name. Father, whooshakabriata. Bring her back, bring her back, bring her back. Bring her back, come on. I don't want to sit down on the job. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ebre ete ke puriata. Hallelujah. 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 Rapapo. Era matopo kupuriata. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See, what you and Richard are getting a taste of is the goodness of God. It can be overwhelming at times. Hallelujah. We're all going to die. We may as well die happy. Huh? I find it depressing getting around some Christians. I mean, I can't, for the sake of self-preservation, I can't fellowship every Christian. I'm too young to die. Can you say howdy?
Yeah, I can.
Well, why don't you do it for me?
Because it scares me, howdy.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Fill him with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Say the goodness of God leads men to repentance. If you get a good dose of the Holy Ghost, you'll repent your way out of anything. Glory to God. Glory to God. There are going to be seasons where the Holy Ghost is going to come down on you. And you're going to be appear like jumping out of your skin because you hold yourself real good. But God's about to mess with you, baby. He is. He's going to mess with you so good, and you're going to love it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say howdy, folks.
Howdy, folks.
Glory to God. Glory to God. The Lord's wonderful. Lou, come here. One more hit. There's a hit on you, Lou. Raise your hands. Power of God tonight. The power of God tonight. Power of God tonight. Shimongoriatai. The power of God tonight. Wonderful Jesus. There it is. There it is. There it is. All over you. All over you. All over you. All over you. Rikatara mukuta. Get us so drunk in the Spirit. So drunk in the Holy Ghost. Fill. 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 Fill tonight. Fill tonight. Fill tonight. Fill tonight. Fill tonight. Glory to God. Fill tonight. Glory to Jesus. Kila rabba shakabai. Glory to God. Glory to God. Where are we going, Lou? Hallelujah. Where are we going? We're going back to Houston. Well, by the time I get to Phoenix, oh, kilara mashakabai, the anointing. See, it's all over you. It's all over you. It's all over you. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Kilara bashaka. It's going to be times where the Holy Ghost is going to come down on you in your house. You're going to be just so captivated by the Spirit of grace on your life. And the joy is going to fill you to overflowing. Now, Holy Spirit, there's coming a time of absolute freedom for you. Absolute freedom in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Is everybody good? Do you love Jesus? Amen. Amen. So let's pray. Father, I'm praying for the joy of the Spirit of grace to come upon every believer in this house, that the force of joy will be a constant companion in every person's life in this house. In Jesus' mighty name. I'm sorry I didn't preach a message tonight. I had it with me, but I just didn't get launched into it. Amen. Pastor Jim, thank you.
My prayer has been, Daddy God, do something eternal in my people. I want to see you so transcendent with His glory that you can't deal with yourself. I want to see His anointing so strong on you that you just got to touch some old sourpuss so some of it can come off of you and into them. I want to see you bask in His presence and radiate His anointing. You are the blessed of the Lord. I pastor the wealthiest group of people in the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. You are called for His purpose. You're anointed for His will, and you will do deeds in His name, the like of which the world has never seen. You are blessed with an eternal blessing, and none shall be denied. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, be here. Bring somebody with you, somebody you care about, somebody you want to see God do something special in their life. And then when you bring them, just continually pray, God, infuse them with your life. Anoint them with your presence and kick the stuffing out of them. You're loved, you're blessed. The name and the blood of the Lamb is upon you, and the world awaits your coming. Go with God.